Festival One podcast.
Awesome. Welcome everyone to the precinct. We are so privileged to have Jeremy Kyle speaking to us. If you were lucky enough to be at his seminar this morning, you would have heard a bit of his story, and it's really inspiring. So if you missed out on that, try and catch him. You'll be here tomorrow and have a chat to him, because wow, God's been working in his life. This seminar is going to be a little bit different. He's going to be talking to us about some of the hacks for cracking it in the industry, and he's going to be giving us some shortcuts and helping us with some practical insights. So put your hands together for Jeremy. Sorry, man.
Cheers. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Awesome. Hi, guys. Kia ora. So, welcome to my seminar. My name is Jeremy Kyle, and yeah, Jeremy Kyle Show. No, I don't have a show, unfortunately, for you guys, but I do have a good seminar for you. So, yeah. Can we get a little bit of quiet in here? All right, let's go. So, I'm a 28-year-old artist. I am American-born, and I grew up in the eastern suburbs of Auckland. I identify as Kiwi, but I've been privileged to have quite a few American clients and have quite a bit of success in the States. So just to give you a little bit of history about me, I've been very blessed by God to be able to work with some of the most prestigious brands and companies in the world, having made paintings for names like the United Nations, the History Channel, the New York Times, the Chicago Bulls, the Black Hawks, and a number of others. And this is all really by the grace of God. And so, yeah, this didn't really happen in the space of like a year, but this is 7 years worth of experimenting within the creative industry. So what I'm going to be presenting to you in this seminar is the highlights that I've learned by working in the creative industry, so that my knowledge might fast track you into your dreams and what you want to do in the creative industry, whether you're an artist or if you want to do, you're going to start out in a band. These are some things that will hopefully really inspire you to take your creativity to the next level. So breaking into the creative industry, what I would say to you, if you're not sure where your heart is or where you want to go into the creative industry, start with where your passion is. So for me, I was naturally drawn to creativity with watercolor, with graphic design, with sketching, the really liquid type mediums. And so that was where my passion was, which drew me into studying fine arts and visual arts at Wycliffe, which is where I started. But I'll go on to talk about university shortly. It doesn't matter where you're at, if you want to be a professional or a hobbyist, start with where your passion is. All right, so let's go on to study. I started at Wycliffe here, right in the middle. And I just wanted to dabble in to find where my creative path was really going to lead me, just by where my passion was. And so at Wycliffe, I got to play with fine arts, graphic design, digital art, photography, pretty much all the different areas of the creative industry. So if you are looking to get into some study, these are the three that I looked at. At Wycliffe, you get to have a taste of all of it, and it's more of the conceptual side of art. I then gateway'd onto UB Design School, where I got to really hone in on my graphic design love. And so they train you really in the technical side of the industry. And I really recommend, if you want to grow and become a real industry professional, UB Design School is a place to really get your sights on if you're wanting to grow in that area. I then gateway'd on to Unitech, where I sort of wrapped all of my knowledge within my experience of painting, design, photography, the conceptual side of my work, and I wrapped it all in together, where I got my bachelor's degree. And so the path that I had with God was a little bit strange because I ended up going to 3 different universities. At the first one, they said that you're not really good enough to get into graphic design. I was like, okay. Well, gateway onto UB Design School. And that turned out to be a huge blessing for me because I got to learn all the industry knowledge and the technical side of things. Why design works and how it works. And then Unitech wrapped all of that knowledge up, as well as my conceptual ideas, and launched me into becoming a professional. So this would normally take you 2 to 4 years to get your bachelor's degree or an advanced diploma. It would probably cost you about 20K. That's for a student loan. So if you're looking to study, this is what my path was. I recommend these 3 universities. They all have their strengths. And if you have any questions about that, if you want to go and study in this part of the industry, come and have a chat to me afterwards. So creating your brand. This, to me, is the area that is the most important. It doesn't matter what you start as a creative. Your brand is the most important thing standing out in the industry. But what is branding, and how do you create your own brand? This is how I've defined a brand, which I've been writing up in my new book. Think of a brand as more of a feeling or an emotional flavor arising out of a combination of a particular set of ingredients that work in unison to meet an appetite in the marketplace. So there is a certain flavor that draws certain people within the industry to your particular brand. If you're an artist, particularly a painter or a visual artist, and this is a little bit flexible on the brand ingredients, this is the essentials as I've defined them. Theme is your underlying ideas or the subjects within your work. Now, this really determines also the market that's really interested in your work, and there are certain themes and certain subjects that have a kind of nobility to them where people will pay more for that because of the subject matter. It doesn't matter how good the art is. If you draw an anime character, there's not really a nobility behind that, whereas if you draw something like a landscape, even though they're technically as good as each other and you put the same detail into them, because of the market and because of who's interested in what, people will pay more for the landscape than they would necessarily for the character, generally speaking. Style enhances your theme. It exhibits unique thought. So it's the way that you dress up your subject matter. Construction, size, nature of your artworks, the difficulty, hours, location. So say you make a painting, and all your paintings you make on the top of a mountain. That plays into the emotional flavor of your brand. Where you paint your artworks as well, that plays into it. Presentation, how you present it and who you're presenting it to. And the amount of art that you produce. Story, this reflects your theme. It inspires your audience, it elevates your brand value, and uniquely sets you apart within the marketplace. So let's say that you make a whole lot of landscape paintings. It's your story that sets you apart as totally unique. Because there will be a whole lot of people that paint landscapes out there, but it's your story that people will then look at your artwork through, which will set you apart as unique. And the more unique your story is, the higher value people will pay for your work, depending on what it is. Philosophy communicates the values, goals, and is married to your story, as well as how you construct your work. This is why you do what you do. It is the motivation behind your work. Platform is your social caliber or your global presence. And the uniform, this is particularly important, is your logo, typeface, color palette, which are the markings that represent your brand and contextualizes you within the broader market. And I'll give an example of this. Your uniform. If you dress up in a suit and you present yourself within a certain audience and you have a product with you, your audience will take you seriously because of the way that you present yourself. Whereas if you present yourself like this, like say a clown, your logo, your typeface, you dress yourself in a certain manner. There's only a certain social audience, a certain market that will take you seriously and pay with a certain amount for what you're worth. So the way that you present yourself is really important to communicating what product or service you're offering. This here, This is the golden rule. It doesn't matter what you're making. Unity, diversity, and consistency. It applies across the spectrum with theme, style, construction, story, philosophy, platform, and uniform. Even the way that you present yourself today, there will be a unity, a diversity, and a consistency to what you have. Create success. I'll give an example with a series of artworks, which I actually have present here. There'll be a unity of theme, but also a diversity in terms of how I create my visual flair. The style is united, but it's also diverse in the way that I express myself. And there is a consistency with the theme as well as the subject matters that I'm using. So it creates a harmony between them all. And so in the midway point, you find a success. It's a trinity within design, and it is the key to success. So just remember that. Oh, and by the way, the birds are over here. So if you're interested in buying one, they're available for sale. This is something that I've found worth really considering, especially if you're an international like myself. I'm a dual citizen. I'm an American. And I've started a company. The benefits of a company. So that's what I want to go into. A company allows you to protect yourself from, let's say it creates a metaphorical sort of force field around you. A company is essentially like it's just a piece of paper, really, that sits inside the office of a legal attorney or the office that we register our companies in New Zealand. It's not really a thing. It's not really a building. And it's actually really easy to establish. You go online, it'll probably take you maybe a day to get it all set up. And then out of a company, you can get things like pre-tax dollars expenses like accountancy, bank fees, depreciation, entertainment, all the way down to home expenses. So there's an area within our tax where you can write off certain costs that benefit you that is on pre-tax dollars, so you pay less tax to the government. And this is all legal and it's done through accountancy, and your accountants can help you out with this. As well as if you're going to be doing creativity on the larger scale, like myself, a company gives you protection over your personal assets. So it means that my company is liable should something go wrong. I myself and my own income and what I've built is not liable. So this is something to think about if you're going to go onto a global scale. Especially if you're dealing in America. I mean, everyone's trying to, like, sue each other, so. If you want to get started like myself, this is a great thing to start thinking about now. The startup cost for starting a business like this would probably be between $8,000 to $10,000, and here you can get something like HP or Konica Minolta printers. So this is like your cash cow. For an investment of maybe like $5,000, you can be producing prints for like, I don't know, $500 or depending on what you make. And it only costs you maybe like $10 a print. And so you're already able to upscale by making a single artwork and make the most of your intellectual property. You don't have to be selling your originals all the time. You can scale up by creating a whole lot of different artworks that the public would be interested in. And then the other thing to think about is suppliers, paperwork, cameras, and computers. This is basically the setup. If you want to be a professional artist, these are the things that you probably want to think about. So if you're thinking about starting something like what I've been doing, come and have a chat to me afterwards, and we can talk about the logistics of getting this kind of equipment for yourself. Trademarking. Now, this is something that's quite interesting. Trademarking is territorial. So basically, let's take Jeremy Kyle, for example. There's a Jeremy Kyle in the States, or I'm a Jeremy Kyle in New Zealand, and I want to trademark my product and services within New Zealand. And so if I apply for a trademark with my JK, I can have this area of the market. It's my territory. It's my prerogative within the creative industry. And you can get a whole lot of different areas within the creative spectrum. So, like, I can trademark packaging. I could trademark creating my own watercolors. I could pretty much trademark anything within the creative area of trademarking. And Jeremy Kyle in Britain has no way of accessing Jeremy Kyle trademarking within New Zealand or within any other niche, any other place in the world that I trademark Jeremy Kyle within the creative industry. So if that makes sense, it pretty much gives you creative prerogative, even though that we share the same name. So this is another real interesting one that I've looked into. And you should really know about it too, since we're all creators, we have an interest in it. All your creative works, whether it's music-based or it's just a sketch or any written stuff that you do, it is automatically protected. Copyright is international, unlike trademarking, where trademarking is locally protected. And it lasts your whole life, plus 50 years. This is something that you really want to do your research in, but stress not. Your works are automatically protected from the moment that you brought your paintbrush to the page. Now, here's something that you want to think about too, and it's quite surprising. You do not own your face. You do not copyright your face. None of us own our faces. Our face is a naturally occurring thing. Naturally created things like flowers, DNA, specific human faces, and so on, are not subject to any sort of intellectual property rights. You cannot copyright or patent something that you did not actually make yourself, but instead found among nature's creations. Copyright is only given to man-made creative works. Plus, there is always someone out there that looks exactly like you in some way, shape, or form, either past, present, or future. The industry. So if you're going to go into being a creative artist like myself, there are three specific areas that you're probably going to be thinking about. The first, which you can scale up in a business model, is being a wholesaler. So what I mean by that is you create a series of products. So let's just say like my native bird series. And now I can either license that out to an established wholesaler who will sell your intellectual property on your behalf to multiple shops around the world. Or you yourself can start a business where you can produce your artworks on, say, cushions, prints, calendars, you name it. It's your intellectual property. It goes on, say, a product that costs you a couple dollars, and then you upscale that and you market that out and sell it to shops. And so you can scale up real easy that way. Commercial artists is flexible. This is sort of where I fall in the middle. My creativity can be very commercial, working for international names. It could be a wholesaler, so it's flexible enough to go onto, let's say, cushions or whatever. And then the fine artist is where you sell, like, more exclusive original art that goes in sort of like galleries or museums or whatever. It sort of has that prestige to it. And that is a little bit more of a difficult thing to thrive in because you really need to build a name before you can capitalize on something like this. So for me, I found a midway point, and that's my native birds. And that can go all around New Zealand. As well as you could go to licensing expos all over the world, and they have hundreds, even thousands of people that go to them. The biggest brands in the world are interested in your intellectual property and your art to sell all over the world and get passive income. So you don't have to be striving. The government will even pay for you to go there. So if you look onto the government website for funding artists, they'll fund you up to $20,000 for international fairs. So if you create a whole series of paintings, there is government support for you to get up there and out there and market to a global audience for passive income. Same with Australia. This is the other thing. If you've got a style, if you've got something that's flexible enough within the commercial industry, there are managers and agencies that are interested in representing you on your behalf. They quote on your behalf. They'll seal the deal. They'll manage projects and they will assist your needs. They're extremely territorial. And they also take 25% commission. So there are a series of art agents here in New Zealand and they represent you in Australasia. My personal agency is International Rescue. And they're a great, friendly bunch of folk. But just have a look online to see what agencies there are out there so you can know ahead of time who can represent you. Get a mentor. They can see what you can't. I really stress this. Your destiny is cultivated in your community. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. So at this moment, I really want to take time to point out Ben De La Barga. There he is right there in the box. This guy has been an amazing business mentor to me. He's been able to see things that I couldn't, and he's even managed to help assist me on international projects, liaising with global brands. So... Shot Ben. Oh yeah, and follow him on Ben Business Bites. He's got amazing business mentorship on there. So if you want to see some really cool stuff, take a look at his Instagram. Social media. Now, honestly, we live in an age that has unlimited potential. There have been thousands of years behind us that have not been able to access what we have to today, which is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, LinkedIn, all of these things that interconnect us to people on the other side of the world. There are people out there that will unlock your destiny. And so capitalizing on this is extremely important. So for me, I've been able to reach out to global clients, but I've really relied on God to bring them in. I'd put my art out there and do what I could with my own strength, relying on God and trusting Him. And then He brings in the clients as I lay myself down before Him. Now, we are all sons and daughters of God. And I reckon if you get your fishing hooks out there, He will bring along the fish. Utilize social media. It has unlimited potential. Once you build your following, and I've managed to build one in the tens of thousands now, you'll be able to drive them to your website for more passive income. Once you have your printer, once you have your materials, once you have your frames, your cushions, your whatever, all they have to do is place an order. You have it at the right price. You figure out your market, how much they'll be willing to pay for it. Ship it overseas and it costs $10. Voila, you've made $150 or $500. It's actually that simple. But it requires diligence. It requires marketing. It requires your time. It requires figuring out who your target audience is and cultivating to their needs, giving them what they want. The challenge in all of this is really to build capital. So when I mean that, I mean value or prestige or fame. This is something that is not necessarily an overnight thing. It can be at the grace of God, bringing along the right people at the right time, but this is something that you cultivate over years. Symbolic, social, and cultural capital. That's basically who owns your work, where it is, how famous it is, how many people. Basically, I'll go into my explanations here. For me, it's who's owned my work, who's commissioned my work, who is my work associated with. The awards that I might have got. And so what makes me stand out with my own story. And bringing this all in, being able to cultivate social capital and cultural capital where you and your art is, and pushing this in front of a social audience so that you build prestige within your audience, which makes people see you and your brand a certain way. And ultimately, who owns your artwork, as well as where it is. So in this example here, these paintings hang in the United Center Presidential Stadium. And I've been extremely lucky, well not lucky, I've been very, very blessed by God to have these people as my clients. And I am not more special than you guys. If you lay yourself down with God and you're serious about being creative with Him, He can unlock these same similar prestigious projects in your life. And He will lead you into a style or a subject matter or create a story that is unique to you. And He will put your work in front of your dream clients, the people that you would just love to connect with. And ultimately, when you accumulate enough prestige within your market, within your local area, or within your culture, you'll be able to sell your work for a very large amount of money. And I've been able to do this over the course of about 7 years, accumulating enough prestige or symbolic, cultural, social capital to be able to turn this artwork into a sale of the tens of thousands of dollars. So I've been really blessed by God to be able to make that happen. But this takes time. It takes time to figure out who you are. You don't normally see a profit for the first 3 years of pretty much any business that you start. And so patience and diligence and stewardship is really the most important thing before God. you build symbolic capital over years. But the most important thing, and I really have to say this from where I stand, you don't have to be a child prodigy. I didn't even really start drawing properly to my very last year of university. And even at university, they didn't really teach me how to draw properly. It was mostly technical and conceptual knowledge. But it was me just leaning into God and trusting Him and figuring out my creativity with the Holy Spirit to find out where I fit. So this is where I put a graph kind of explaining what happened for me. In the first 4 years, you study to figure out who you are and what your passion is, what you want to know at university, get empowered technically and conceptually. Over the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years, you build symbolic capital, or cultural and social. And then after that, you continue to build it. But the key is to build, get to a place of manipulating that capital so that you can turn it into economic gain. But really, the key for this is effective branding, figuring out who you are, it's accumulating that prestige, and building the capital. So, yeah, this is really the key for exponential value, increasing it within the art world. And this is a good example of how it works. Dad, I want you to marry the girl of my choice. Son, no. Dad, the girl is Bill Gates' daughter. Son, then that's okay. Dad goes to Bill Gates. Dad, I want your daughter to marry my son. Bill Gates, no. Dad, my son is the CEO of the World Bank. Bill Gates, that's okay then. Dad goes to the president of the World Bank. Dad, appoint my son as the CEO of your bank. President, no. Dad, he is the son-in-law of Bill Gates. President, okay then. This is business. This is kind of how it works. It works in politics the same way too. But amongst all of this, I really have to come back to this is your character really matters. So in the previous example, it sounds quite manipulative, which it sort of is. But your character ultimately is what God places favor on. It's how you steward. It's what He gives you, what He can trust you with. It's about being faithful in the small things so that He can trust you in the large things. Heaven is drawn to it. And what I found most importantly and most enlightening in my life is actually God hides a diamond in the dirt. And what I mean by that is there's something that you're like, someone comes to you and they want to be mentored by you or someone that can't really offer you anything. And you just set aside yourself to love them and be with them and not expect anything from them. God is drawn to that. And He blesses you and He opens up opportunities. And so for me, that was really just at the start. I had nothing. I didn't have any prestigious whoever. I just wanted to draw with kids and love them. And so like at church, I'd just spend time with the kids and we'd just paint together. And I'd encourage them. And so it's even in these small things that God will look and say, He's got a heart of love. She's got a heart of love. Look how He stewards the small things. I can bless that. And so this is what I would encourage you to really think about. When God brings the small things into your life, don't look the other way. Love the person in front of you. Ephesians 6 verses 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. In Matthew 25, 40, truly I tell you, whoever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Thank you. All right, we'll do some Q&A, guys.
I've got a mic here, so if you have a question, I'll give you the mic and then it can be recorded. Thanks.
Hi. Hey, who's, that's not just Michael Jordan, is it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
What part of, is that his shoulder?
That's his hand coming underneath the trophy. But behind here, yes, that's his shoulder. Yep.
Kia ora, bro.
Kia ora.
My question is, do you do this full-time, and at what point did you decide to switch from doing art as a hobby into a full-time thing?
From the very get-go, I was a professional. I stepped out of university, and I was like, God, here I am. I don't know why. It was actually quite irrational of me. Lord, I give this to you. I don't really have any art mentor at this stage. I don't know where I'm going. I love you. I love art. I want to change the world. I believe you. I believe you can do anything. And he stepped up and he's like, God, like, I will flow with you, Jeremy. And if you're patient at the right time, I will promote you. And I will promote you beyond all you could hope or imagine. And I'm a son and you're a son. So he can do that for you as well. Trust, faith.
Cool, bro. Cheers for that.
Hey, how do you keep it as your passion while you're still doing work and, you know, when things can get a little bit hard with everything?
How to maintain your passion? I guess just mixing it up, really. Like, at the moment, I'm writing a book, which I'm not really that passionate about, but I'm passionate about the subject. So I just go back to just drawing what I love, not for a client, not for anyone. Just here, this is me, I'm motivated, I'm inspired. This is what I want to do. But what I would say to you is take the pressure off, give it to Holy Spirit, who's the ultimate inspirer. We move by his inspiration. We say things by his inspiration. We can't strive in these things. We need to relax into him. This is something that I'm learning myself. You know, I haven't got it all figured out. But I know the one that I trust. And to remain inspired is to remain in him. So, yeah.
Thank you. So you said you went to 3 different universities, and by the looks of it, you tried quite a few things with design and all that. How did you settle on painting, and how did you discover that was what you really wanted to do?
It's just the flow of my life, really. Like, people think, like, I have to, like, over-spiritualize this or overthink this about what I have to do because it is such high repercussions. Do what's in front of you and remain inspired and really, like, just trust God. Like, for me, mine was, like, a real, like, this sort of process. And I was like, I wasn't really trying to overthink it, but he's like, just jump on the roller coaster with me and follow the natural direction of your life. It says that if we commit our ways to the Lord, he'll make straight our paths. And, like, I really, really believe this. Like, I really believe this. Whatever's in front of you, commit to where he has you. And I think something like what Sean Bolts is really highlighted for me is that even where I'm trying to grow in a place that I'm not seeing growth yet, he says, bloom where you're planted. Wherever you're planted, steward where you're at right now and don't try to get over to that, you know, the other side of the hill where it's, you know, grass is greener on the other side. If you bloom where you are right now and you steward what he has in front of you, he can trust you and place you in it, like, literally in 6 hours. Just as something just so incredible to your heart, but just change your whole life. Yeah.
Anyone else? Cool. I just want to say thank you so much, Jeremy, on behalf of everyone here, for sharing your passion. It's really inspiring. And also just the practical insights and how to make it and break into what can be a really difficult industry. So yeah. Let's put our hands together for Jeremy.
For more episodes, go to festival.one.